Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
All right, Church Online, put your answer in the public chat. During the Super Bowl last month, how many of you saw the He Gets Us foot washing ad that I just showed you? Sure, there was buzz about Usher and Taylor and Travis, and some people even paid attention to the enormous men running around with a ball on a field, whatever that was. But then along came this super powerful ad that really got people talking. I mean, you've got an inner city cop washing the feet of a young black man. You've got an oil rig worker washing the feet of a climate activist, and an older woman washing the feet of a young woman outside an abortion clinic while protesters look on. The ad came from a group called He Gets Us, which is running a multi-million dollar ad campaign with the aim of essentially reintroducing America to Jesus. And boy, has this got the social media verse talking, the irony being that it's a 60-second ad about Jesus, and no one seems angrier about it than Christians. For various reasons, both the left and the right were offended by the ad. But no matter which side of the line you fall on, I think this ad did something different and truly thought-provoking. Instead of telling the nation, He gets us, this ad essentially asked American Christians, do we get Him? Do we understand the way of Jesus? Because foot washing is what Jesus is all about. In case you didn't know, Jesus performed the unglamorous task of foot washing to demonstrate to His followers how to treat each other and how to love our enemies. I mean, Jesus washed Judas's feet, who that very night would betray Him. Jesus knew it was coming, and Jesus went ahead and washed Judas's feet. When Jesus washed each of His disciples' feet, it caused an uproar among them. This was their rabbi, their leader, the person it was dawning on them could quite possibly be the Messiah. And He's washing their feet. They couldn't handle the power reversal. And guess what? That astonishing act of humility, which Jesus instructed His followers to continue, still causes an uproar in our world today. Why? Because the way of following Jesus is hard. If you're new to Liquid, my name is Kyler. I'm the Church Online pastor here. And for the past 5 weeks, we've been studying the way of Jesus, specifically how to follow Jesus in the real world. Now, last week, Pastor Tim talked about the way of generosity, how to put God first. And today, I'm talking to you about the way of servant leadership, which is one of the hardest ways to follow Jesus. All right, any of you online still with me? 90% of you just said, you know, maybe there are some cat videos I haven't seen yet. But for those of you still here, what I want to do today is look at the original account of Jesus washing the feet of His disciples. Does anybody know what night that happened? It was a very specific night. It took place the night of the Passover, hours before He was betrayed. So let's open up the Gospel of John. John, one of the original 12 disciples, was also one of Jesus's biographers. And in chapter 13, he wrote about a time when Jesus was having dinner with His disciples. It was the last time that Jesus would be eating with them before His death. And John describes what happened this way. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. Wow. What do you do when you're the most powerful person in the room? Oh, maybe throw a party for yourself, or announce your new album is going to drop, or post an Instagram reel of how impressive you are. But no, according to Jesus, what you do is you put a towel around your waist. You get down on your knees and you wash dirty, filthy feet. Now pause here for a moment. We're talking about the King of the universe, the God who actually created the disciples and their feet. He made them, and yet he gets on his hands and knees and washes their feet. Why does he do that? Well, in ancient times, people traveled by foot pretty much everywhere, in sandals, even barefoot. The dusty roads left their feet coated with grime, caked with mud, which is why when travelers arrived at their destination, a host would often bring a basin of water to wash their feet. It was a gesture of welcome and kindness, not to mention a practical means just to keep dirt out of the home. And in the homes of the wealthy or powerful, this task was most likely done by a servant or a slave, or maybe the wife of the host, which is why Jesus' decision to wash feet is not just humble. Some would say it's humiliating. The Son of God intentionally chose the lowly, demeaning task of a common house servant. King Jesus stooped to wipe, wash, rinse, and towel dry the dirty, smelly, cracked and sore feet of a bunch of common fishermen who had been walking miles on scorching, punishing, dusty roads. This was the man the disciples believed to be the long-awaited ruler who would, according to biblical prophecy, deliver Israel from its oppressors, the Romans. This was the man, the God-man. So when Jesus begins to wash their feet, it is so incomprehensible to their way of thinking, so contrary to the culture in which they lived, so offensive to their understanding of who this hero kneeling before them is, that they couldn't wrap their minds around it. Both cultural custom and religious propriety dictated that only a common slave, not even a Jewish slave, that was beneath them, but any other common slave should do such a degrading task. I mean, no exalted man of God would stoop to do such a thing. And Simon Peter understood this. He knew this was totally degrading. Look at what John writes. He says, Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Peter, he's ashamed on behalf of Jesus. He says, "You're the Messiah. You're the King of the universe. This is beneath you. Don't you get it, Lord? Lord, yes, Lord, that's who you are. So what are you doing with a towel? You're turning the whole world upside down. Next, are you going to tell me you stole that towel from a hotel because now it's okay to steal things too? What is going on?" Understand, Jesus isn't like any other king. He was a revolutionary. His choice to wash his disciples' feet is a vivid demonstration of the upside-down nature of the kingdom of God. The way up is the way down. You want to be great? You stoop to serve. That's why he washed Peter's feet, even though Peter would later deny that he even knew him. It's why he also washed Judas's feet, who would later betray him for a chunk of change. He did it because he is a servant leader. Nothing is beneath him. It's the way of downward mobility. You've heard of upward mobility? Jesus says, nah, it's about downward mobility. Jesus is giving his disciples a whole new playbook. He's asking them to lay down their pride, sacrifice their egos and lives, and humbly serve one another. But Peter, truly, he doesn't get it. In verse 6, it says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Peter, he is such a disciple that he's like, "Wash my feet? Never, Lord." But then Jesus replies, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And Peter's scared. He's a people pleaser. So he says, "Well, then Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." But there wasn't enough water, so Jesus grabbed a big orange drum of Gatorade and poured it over Peter, and that's where today's post-game celebration tradition comes from. I'm kidding. Back to the actual text. Here is Jesus' main point to his followers. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Translation, it's your turn now, Church Online. You go and wash other people's feet. Jesus did it, and now it's your turn. That's why when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? Friends, they didn't understand. You know why? Because all they have is WIFM in their mind. W-I-F-M. You know WIFM? It means what's in it for me. It's consumer Christianity. Feed me, but don't expect much in return. So when Jesus asked the disciples, do you understand what I have done for you? Guess what? Newsflash, they don't understand because they have a whole different mindset. They're thinking, look, we got into this because we thought people were going to serve us. And now you're telling us we got to serve each other? That's WIFM. It's when you're a spiritual taker, where it's all about you. You know, what's in it for me? Because it's about what I want, what I get, what I prefer. That's what a spiritual consumer mindset is. It's people who say, I'm looking for a church that meets my needs. Ah, I want the classic hymns, not this rock and roll guitar stuff. I want the pastor to preach more about social justice, not all these Bible stories. I want you to take care of my kids, but I don't want to have to do anything about that. Spiritual consumers place their needs and their desires at the center of God's universe instead of the other way around. But what Jesus is doing here is showing his disciples how to move away from being spiritual consumers and how to move toward being spiritual contributors. That's how John ends his story. If you look at the final verses of Jesus' teaching in John 13, Jesus leaves his disciples with a challenge. He says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." In other words, it's not WIFM, W-I-F-M, what's in it for me? WIFM is the way of the world. But the way of Jesus is, I'm in it for you. Jesus is like, I'm in it for you, although I am the king. And I am the king, but I'm not just washing your feet and serving you. I'm going to die on a cross to give you eternal life. I'm sacrificing everything for you. That's the invitation into the kingdom. That's the way of servant leadership, where serving isn't just something you do. A servant leader is who you are. Spiritual contributors understand the church does not exist for them. Instead, the church exists for the world, right? And we understand our purpose is to serve God and love people because we exist to make a difference. Understand, God created you to be a blessing to others. And you are to do his will and finish the work he sent you to do. So as spiritual contributors, our worldview has to change from what's in it for me to I'm in it for you. And you know, we have servant leaders like that all over Liquid. I'm talking, for example, about Walter Darr, who drives 90 minutes from Princeton to Parsippany to volunteer in our office doing computer data cleanup so that when you check your kids in Liquid Family, you won't be double registered. That is a servant who's not thinking, what's in it for me, but rather, I am in it for you. It's servant leaders like Superja, who radiates the spirit of foot washing every Sunday when she serves as a coach on our guest connections team, making sure her fellow volunteers are prepared and then leading by example by greeting people with a hug and a smile. She works full time and travels for work. The path to what's in it for me could be the one of least resistance for her. But instead, every Sunday, when Super Josh shows up to church, she's actually saying, "No, I'm in it for you." Across all our campuses, including Church Online, we've got an army of volunteers. Hey, can we give some love and applause in the chat for them? For all of our volunteers who serve. Let those emojis fly. Let's go. All right. And listen, that's how JJ and Shruti from Mercer County also live their lives. These guys are contributors. They're married. They're servant leaders at our campus in Princeton. JJ serves on our security team, and Shruti serves with Liquid Family. And for them, serving isn't something they do. It's who they are. They're in it for you. Check this out.
Once Liquid Mercer opened up, I really wanted to get involved in some sort of capacity. It was very important that not only do I get fed, but I also try to serve as well. Wherever God opens a door for me, I think that's where I want to be. You know, in a conversation, I saw somebody with a walkie-talkie and I said, "How do I get one?" Really, I think something for me was in this role, especially I get people on a day-to-day basis, and it's amazing for me. And so seeing different teams interact with people, it's amazing to see, and I get a front row seat to it all. As a security coordinator, you want to keep people safe and just keep an eye out for anything that could affect a Sunday.
So I am part of the Liquid Family team. I am one of the coaches for that team, and I'm able to greet the children when they're coming in. We are able to sing and dance, introduce ourselves to each other. As you start building that relationship with the children, they're running into the classroom. Their parents are having to, you know, keep telling them multiple times we have to go. And just seeing that every Sunday, that keeps me motivating, knowing that I'm part of that relationship that they're building with Jesus.
You know, you get to know people's names, you get to know people's stories. You truly do feel that connection and that community that goes beyond just four walls in a building. We have so much on our mind on Sundays that the last thing could be trying to wake up early and come into church. But really, waking up early and coming to serve God first has really fulfilled us more than anything else. Starting with God has set that foundation for the rest of the week.
If you're considering joining a dream team, you're going to see a lot of people in different colored shirts, mainly blue and orange. Those would be the right people to go up to and start speaking to. Just having those conversations really allows you to understand what they do day to day and understand if that's something you're interested in. I would say that Liquid Family is a great team to join. I have such a blast doing it every single Sunday. And the great thing with Liquid Family is that there's a lot of different areas you can be a part of. But even with guest connections or worship team, whatever it may be, there's always a need and there's always a place for someone.
If you are considering serving, I would say take a moment, pray over it, reflect on it, and just see where you actually feel called to. There's so many options and there's so many different teams that you could serve on, that one that you might not even see yourself on, but having those conversations, you could really see how you could be a fit. We have a rule with serving that we always serve one, but we also get fed one. And even after we serve, we always need to make sure we go into service for worship, because we can't serve from an empty cup, and we need to make sure that we're filling our own cup as well.
Hey, did you hear what JJ said? That wherever God opens a door, that's where he wants to be. I love that. JJ and Shruti are wonderful examples of servant leaders. But I wanted to take the opportunity to wash the feet of somebody on the Church Online team who is in it for you. And I have with me my friend, Kevin Eitel. Kevin's an award-winning sales professional in the financial, healthcare, retail, technology sectors. There's nothing this guy can't sell. And he's been a mentor in Liquid's high school program. For the past 4 years, he served as a moderator and chat host for Church Online. And that means Kevin works selflessly to make the online interactive experience as enjoyable and welcoming as possible for regular online attendees, as well as those who are checking out Liquid for the very first time, wondering if this could be the church they call home. And as one of our amazing volunteers, Kevin never says, "Hey, what's in it for me?" Instead, Kevin is all about, "I'm in it for you." Kevin, from my pixelated heart as your Church Online pastor, thank you. Thank you for putting others first. And guys, I'm just going to take a moment. I'm going to pray for Kevin. But understand that Kevin represents hundreds of servant leaders across all of our campuses, including Church Online. And from my heart as your pastor, I want to say thank you. We couldn't do this without you, and not without you, Kevin. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Kevin and all the volunteers that he represents. Thank you for every single volunteer who serves you in ways big and small, behind the scenes with a camera, out in the parking lot, in the rain, serving goldfish crackers to toddlers, welcoming people with special needs. Lord, we thank you because you first modeled to us what we can now go out and do for others. Our lives are better and richer because of their willingness to serve. We thank you for their servant's heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, buddy. Can we hear it in the chat for him? Light it up with those hearts and hand claps and all that stuff, okay? Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Friends, we want to thank those of you who serve. But you may have noticed, hey, listen, we got some towels left, all right? And my prayer today is that you hear Jesus' invitation and take up a towel, sign up to be a servant leader like Kevin this spring. Because some of you are going to hear the Holy Spirit right now and realize that God's calling you to move from being spiritual consumers to contributors. And you're going to know that your days of what's in it for me are over. Instead, you'll pick up a towel and say, I'm in it for you. Now, there are three different groups of people watching online right now. For some of you, you live too far away to connect with one of our physical locations. Serving on the Church Online team makes perfect sense then. Like Kevin, you could be a chat host, interacting with guests, joining our live Church Online services, making them feel welcome and comfortable, helping them get further connected with Liquid Church. Or you could be a prayer host, responding to online guests seeking prayer and encouragement. Those two options are available to any of you watching right now. But some of you are within driving distance of a Liquid location. You've been watching online for a while now, maybe weeks, months, years. And you've been thinking, okay, maybe it's time to start attending in person. Come on, I know that's speaking to some of you today. I know it's comfy at home, but if you've got the chance to mix and mingle in person with fellow travelers on your Christian journey, don't miss out. The opportunities for you, for your family to grow in community and to contribute are endless in person. It's time. It's time for some of you. And the third group watching right now, you attend one of our physical locations when you can, but you travel for work a lot. So maybe you attend in person once or twice a month, but you've never moved from consumer to contributor. But you tell us, if serving once a month is best for your crazy schedule, then fine. That's awesome. We just don't want you to miss out on the life-changing experience of picking up your towel and serving as Jesus served. Okay, how can you join us as a servant leader, whether in person or online? Go ASAP to liquidchurch.com/dreamteams. Now, we call them dream teams because we know God's dream is to grow his church across New Jersey and around the world, wherever you are right now. We've got Sunday teams, midweek teams, and of course, online teams. There is something for everyone here, so don't miss out. This is how Jesus showed his greatness. He was willing to do the unglamorous thing to show God's love. What could that be for you? Will you wash feet by serving online, greeting guests who log on from anywhere, encouraging them, answering prayers? Or could you wash feet by joining a local Liquid campus and serving elementary kids who need godly men and women to step up and help them become who God created them to be? Or serving our special needs population? Liquid Church, you got to know this. Liquid Church just hosted a prom for 700 guests with special needs. Word is out. The father is bringing children with Down syndrome, autism, ADHD to Liquid Church. We don't want to have to turn anyone away. So my question is, will some of you watching online say, you know what? I can pick up the towel and say, I'm in it for you. And guess what? Okay, this is important for you to know. You don't have to serve for life. It's not a life sentence, okay? I promise you, we're not going to burn you out. But here's what we are going to do for you. We're going to care for you. We're going to train you. And we're going to introduce you to people who just might become like family to you. Kevin's like family to me now. So as the Church Online pastor, I'm asking you to pick up a towel and wash someone's feet by joining a dream team, whether online or in person. Jesus served on a dream team. Did you realize that? It was his dream to gather and train disciples, a ragtag group of people who would discover the joy of downward mobility, of putting egos aside to put others in front. And that dream changed the world. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Friends, if you want to be truly great in the eyes of God, kneel down and serve. I'm going to pray for us. And then I'm going to invite you once again to check out liquidchurch.com/dreamteams to find your fit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you left the glories and the wonders of heaven to come to earth, to love us, to teach, to preach, to serve. Lord, that just blows my mind. But we thank you. We thank you for teaching us the way of downward mobility, that the way up to true peace and joy is the way down to serve the least and the last and the lost. Lord, would you give us a heart that beats after your heart to the rhythm of putting others first? Jesus, we thank you and we kneel before you. Use us down here to change the world. And we pray this in the beautiful and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hey, Church Online, listen, thank you for being with us. And before you go, please know that you can request prayer 24/7 on the Liquid app. You can contact me, the Church Online pastor, anytime at Kyler@liquidchurch.com. I'll see you all week long on our social media platforms and in the app. Go serve, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.